Dracula, we've got your mummy, we've got your mix of traditional, like, monster, movie monsters.
I think the zombie's a whole different genre because it's never one.
That's interesting, yeah. You're right.
With all the others, it's always one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had one Frankenstein monster, you went with one Wolfman, mm-hmm. even though there could be others.
Yeah. And it seemed like every time somebody tried to make a new Frankenstein, it was a mistake.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this might be Derek Gary. Let's see.
WMFO. WMFO.
Hello.
WMFO, you are on the air.
Hi there.
It is Derek Gary, everybody. Welcome back to Real Horror Show. We are talking about zombies, Derek. I'm here with Winston Kidd.
Derek.
Oh, you talk about zombies the night that I'm not there. Come on.
Well, this was the week. I couldn't shelve it. I already had some zombie
we were
stuff to do.
Zombies this week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Man, I'm calling from my quarantine barn.
Yeah. Can you hear Winston okay?
Yes.
All right. You can hear Derek okay, Winston?
I'm going to turn it up a little bit.
All righty. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about Night of the Living Dead, and Winston brought up an interesting thing, which was I said, where would the zombie rank for him with the traditional movie monsters of Frankenstein, Mummy, Dracula, Creature of the Black Lagoon, things like that? And he said, well, there's never really one zombie, and there's always one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's one zombie, there's no problem. You know, you
right.
shoot it in the head. The problem with the zombies is there's a lot of zombies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily super powered or super strong or even super smart. Just your arm's going to tire out from chopping their heads off after a while, and then they eat you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you remember, I had just brought this up to Winston, I was trying to remember, it was either memes or some kind of thing that came up, and it was a Walking Dead, it might have even been like a Walking Dead group or something, and people would vote on their favorite zombie, like zombie in field, zombie with missing arm in the sewer. Yeah. Do you remember what that was from?
It was from The Walking Dead, and it was a thing they did on that after show, Talking Dead.
Yes,
where they would ask people to vote on their favorite zombie kill from that week's episode.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. That's what it was from. Okay, I was trying to remember.
Like, which zombie death did you think was the best this week?
Yes.
And they wonder why America has turned into a feral wasteland.
Right.
You know, this is really what it's all about.
They had bloated zombie that had been like sitting in the sitting in like a river for like, you know, 2 years or whatever. It was like they kind of ran out of ideas after a while. But those first few years, you always came up with some interesting zombie each episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good week to talk about Night of the Living Dead because the Criterion 4K disc dropped this week.
Yeah.
And for anybody who already owns the Blu-ray, all you're getting is a new 4K disc with it. If for whatever reason you missed the Criterion Blu-ray, which is exceptional, great, 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 great image quality, maybe you pick up the new one. You know, the 4K isn't really going to do anything for it. It's a black and white film. People who've seen it have said, yeah, maybe in a couple of places it's a little bit better. But it's an excellent package. They've got nearly every extra that was ever made for Night of the Living Dead on board with it, plus George Romero's original cut of the movie.
Nice.
Nice.
And that transfer is awesome. It's one of the last things that George Romero worked on before he passed away. So it's his, you know, loving restoration of the film that started it all for him.
Beautiful. Did you get to watch? Do you have any new releases for this week?
Not. What do we got? We've got that came out this week. This is year two for the Universal Monsters Collection.
Oh, yeah. I did see a little bit of your review on that. Why don't you tell us a little about that one? This is pretty cool.
So Universal put out a couple of years ago a spectacular box set on Blu-ray, 30 Universal Monster movies. It is still the definitive set to own. For the last couple of years, they've been dropping four movies on 4K. So you're getting a 4K transfer of the film now. Again, it's black and white, right? I don't get fired up for black and white 4K because unless you own really, really high-end equipment, it doesn't do anything for the movie. It looks about the same as it does on Blu-ray. And they've got all the same extras on board. So unless you miss that box set or you really like paying more than you need to own movies, and don't mind waiting 7 years for them to get through everything that was in that box set, I'd say just go get the box set.
Yeah. Now, what would be your favorite of those Universal Monsters again? What would be a movie for people to go out and watch before Halloween this week?
Well, it's not really the horror movie in there. The Invisible Man, for me, is like the best of the best.
I think so, too. Yeah.
The best one they ever made. Out of the horror movies, I'd probably go with Bride of Frankenstein. Frankenstein is sort of the safe classic, but Bride adds a lot to it. It mixes it up, and it's a lot more fun.
Yeah. I agree. It's a great movie, but Frankenstein is definitely more creepier than Bride of Frankenstein. Frankenstein has some very disturbing things happening in it.
And the thing that people forget is that Frankenstein and as well as Nosferatu, the original Nosferatu, those are pretty significant movies because at the time that they came out, nobody knew if horror was going to work. You know, narrative film was in its early days at that point still. And studios were trying to figure out what people would be excited by. And so a lot of it was comedy, and a lot of it was mob movies and action movies. And somebody took a chance on a horror film, you know, and said, people might want to go to the theater to be scared. And it worked. If it hadn't worked, you never would have seen horror movies again.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a genre that just keeps on going and going, especially in the worst times. People seem to enjoy superhero movies and horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look at any of the films that are out. You go to AMC Theaters or Showcase, any of these. Regal still exists? I don't even know. But they're all horror movies, you know. And this was happening in July, August, you know. Not even, you know, just now. If you look at anything that's playing now, there's got to be four or five horror movies playing. In the theaters.
Risk COVID, what are you going to risk it for? I mean, that, you know, that to me is the standard for any movie that comes out. And, you know, the thing about horror movies is it gives you, you know, some release from your current worries because it's sort of, you know, manufactured horror.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like building up an immunity to an allergen by taking a little of whatever you're allergic to at a time. You know, it kind of, okay, I can cope with this scary movie, so now maybe I can go home and watch the news.
You know? That's right. That's right.
Superhero movies are just pure escapism that, you know, somebody's going to come in and kick the crap out of all the bad guys.
I think there's this innate ability for everyone to be excited about somebody else in danger.
Sure.
If it's not them, if somebody else is in danger, I think people just have this ability to relish it and enjoy it. It's like this little evil thing that everybody has in them.
They can have the empathy for the person who's in danger without any risk.
That's right.
But we also like seeing the bad people like get off.
Yes.
Which is what kept Stephen King in business for a couple of decades.
Yeah.
It's what every 80s slasher is about. Because it's not the nice kid that gets killed in the 80s slasher. It's the jock.
Right.
It's the promiscuous girl. It's, you know, the weirdo kid that's like picking on everybody else. They're the ones that die. The nice kids usually get to go home.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. I brought this this movie up. It's recent, but it's very disturbing because, you know, one of the nice kids actually doesn't make it, which is Hereditary. Very disturbing movie. And this came out in 2018, and it's out there. I know it's on all the streaming services out there, but I'd say check that movie out if you haven't yet. It was the same person that did Midsommar. It's Ari Aster, I believe. He's done those two so far. You don't like him, right? Do you like him?
I don't like Midsommar. I liked it better when it was called The Wicker Man.
Oh, I thought it was similar to The Wicker Man, but I still liked it. I thought it was still good.
It is The Wicker Man, and if you've seen The Wicker Man, then you know The Wicker Man is a much, much better movie. The Nicolas Cage version, to me, is not as good as the original, but, you know, I know younger audiences would rather watch the newer one because it's faster-paced. I get it.
Yeah.
Kind of the point of The Wicker Man is it's one of those slow burn English horror movies where you don't really know what's going on until the last moment, and by that point it's too late.
Well, the movie before it is actually, I think, much better, which is Hereditary. But I still think they're both great horror movies. I think this guy is an interesting person to watch. We'll see what happens with him. Have you seen either of those, Winston?
I've seen The Wicker Man.
Yeah, okay.
I saw the, what's that, Nicolas Cage version? And
Yeah, with the bees.
Yep. Yeah, and it wasn't, I mean, I'm not a big fan of Nicolas Cage.
So you liked seeing him surrounded by bees?
And burning to death, yeah.
What were you going to say, Derek, about Hereditary or Midsommar?
I will always give a filmmaker credit for breaking one of those cardinal rules. Like, you kill off the nice kid, or you kill the person that we think is the hero, or you kill a child.
Right.
Because we all have, anybody who's seen a number of horror movies, and the fans have all seen a number of horror movies,
yep.
You get to know what the rules are. And when you have a director who breaks one of those rules, it keeps you on your toes for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I think Deep Blue Sea falls into that category with Sam Jackson. He's gone in the first reel, you know, a science fiction horror movie. Rennie Harlan did it. He directed it. But yeah, I would even go so far as to say that's probably my second favorite shark movie after Jaws is Deep Blue Sea. Because it's just such an interesting movie. You're really, all bets are off. You have no idea who's going to survive this this situation they get into.
So Derek, then you would be a huge fan of Game of Thrones.
I kind of got into Game of Thrones. It lost me as it went along because it just my patience with television is very limited. Even Dahmer is a little bit too slow for me. And when Game of Thrones started spinning its wheels, it was like, you guys are like sitting around waiting for an ending and waiting for the audience to drop off, and I just want you to get on with it.
Yeah.
Like, give me, in any situation, cut the number of episodes that you're planning by a third and focus on really tight storytelling and you'll have something that's better.
Yeah, it brought that up again this week, and that theory of, we have a bunch of writers who have really not seen any good television or film, and they don't know how to write. They're just looking at getting a paycheck and moving on to the next project.
Yeah.
So
we need you to fill 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you fill 40 minutes for us?
Yeah, I'm finding this happening with Andor too.
The last episode was absolute padding. Yeah.
It's just like, okay, this is the same episode we just watched the week earlier, and you're bringing unlikable characters who we all know are going to be offed, and he'll be the only survivor. And the thing is I like his character, and the only other interesting character has a mom that instantly slaps him into the face, just like Leia slapping Poe Dameron. If any woman did that at work, they should be sent right to HR and fired, but it will never happen. But in the Star Wars universe, it seems like all these older women can just keep slapping these middle-aged men in the face and telling them they love them afterwards and it's okay. It just doesn't make any sense.
We did that back in the 70s. You know, it happened.
Yeah.
Occasionally, a series can do a padding episode that is brilliant. And two that I'll point out, and then these aren't horror-related necessarily, the fly-in-the-lab episode of Breaking Bad is pure padding.
Yeah.
But it is a fantastic episode. The other one that I think is one of the greatest episodes of television of all time is the Bastogne episode of Band of Brothers, where we're just following a medic as he tries to get through a couple of days in Bastogne and get supplies back to his unit.
Yeah, that's very good.
It's the only time that we're ever really with him continually through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you're getting a view of that battle that has never really been done before. And it's one of those cases where having the time to slow it down and give us all the details really brings home what these guys were doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's such a great show, too. Another thing, Band of Brothers, great, great show. Produced by Tom Hanks and Ron Howard, came out in the mid-90s, I think, or late, late 90s. And
So one thing I'm going to say for next week, when you and I are face-to-face, is I did watch, and you predicted this last week, I did watch Candyman.
Yes.
And I liked Candyman. I have problems with it, but
did you watch
not
the first
the same
one?
Problems that you have with it.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll talk about Candyman and what's going on with that.
Yeah. We can chat about Candyman a little bit next week. All right. You see anything else this week? Any new exciting things happening on the video game front or with any new DVD, Blu-ray releases coming up?
I'll tell you, nothing on media, but I'll tell you one thing I did, because it's fall, and there's all kinds of, like, spooky activities that you can go do.
Yeah.
I will tell anybody to go up to Beverly and check out Halloween on the Hill.
Huh.
Which is that there's a farm owned by the trustees up in Beverly. But if you look up Halloween on the Hill, you'll find this. And it's basically a walk through the woods on this old estate. And the walk is lined with carved pumpkins. And they're brilliantly carved pumpkins. Like, you go through a bunch of different themes as you're going through it. But just about at the halfway point, you come into this clearing. The old farmhouse is back there, and they've got a light show going on the farmhouse. There's this massive tree with all these skeletons hanging off of it, and there's a graveyard that's been set up at the bottom of it, and there's pumpkins, you know, spread around the graveyard. And as you walk out of the woods and you see this, it's just amazing. It's a great thing to take kids to. There's a lot of uphill, so if you're, you know, differently abled or you've got bad knees, you might want to take that into account.
Yeah.
But it was just, of all the Halloween stuff that I've done in recent years, this is one of the best experiences I've had.
Nice. That's great to hear. That's cool.
So,
we should
highly, highly recommend it. Halloween on the Hill.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And we should actually mention the fact that Halloween Kills came out today. Or did it come out yesterday? It came out today. And the reviews are coming in, and they are not kind.
Yeah.
I didn't like Halloween, and I didn't like the last Halloween. What was the last one called? Halloween Ends.
Pause.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
it's Halloween. There's still money to be made.
Yeah. But this one's supposed to be Halloween Ends. The last one was Halloween Kills. This one is Halloween Ends, I believe. Yeah, it's Halloween Ends. And it's playing in Somerville. It's right down the street. I'm sure people will be checking that out. Actually,
as long as there is breath in Mustafa Akkad's lungs, Halloween will never end.
Actually, it's getting better reviews than Halloween Kills. So far, 82% of all Google users are liking this movie. So we will see.
Huh.
I will go see Halloween Ends this week. That's what I will do. I will go see Halloween Ends. I don't really want to, but I will. And I will give a review of Halloween Ends next week, too. So we'll talk a little bit about the remake of the Candyman Halloween Ends.
Aren't Halloween Ends the leftover bits of pumpkin after you carve your jack-o'-lantern?
Yes, the Halloween Ends. I'd like the Halloween Ends, please. For, yeah, yeah, with some ketchup. Yeah, with a little ketchup.
The candy corn at the bottom of the barrel, that's Halloween Ends.
Yeah. But the we'll see. I don't know. Hopefully they kill off everybody. I just want to see everybody go. One thing that I love is we mentioned TikTok as being one of my everyday horrors this week. Jamie Lee Curtis showed up on TikTok and she said, "I'm hearing Christmas music. It's Halloween. What the F is wrong with people?" And that was it. And I'm like, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the queen of Halloween. One of the queens of Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Jamie, we still got Jamie Lee Curtis, so the world is still okay.
She's been amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Halloween basically made her, right? That was the big...
Pretty much, yeah. Halloween was the first real big one. They got her cheap because she was Tony Curtis's... she was Tony Curtis's kid. And,
yep.
Yeah, and she's great.
Yeah, she did a bunch of stuff with Carpenter at the start of her career and then moved on to bigger and better things. And, you know, I think a lot of people at the time looked at her and said, oh, here's another, you know, Hollywood kid who thinks she can act.
Yeah.
And she had kind of a different look, and it wasn't necessarily in her favor. So, you know, she gave her all for those movies. Like, if you watch her in the original Halloween, you watch her in Halloween 2, she's bringing it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even when some of the, like the first Halloween, everybody's bringing it. The second one, there's clearly some people who are just there, you know, hey, I got a gig and I'm going to go do this thing. But she brings it in every one of those movies that she's in. And she becomes the reason to go see a lot of those movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, she was also the daughter of Janet Leigh, who was in Psycho, one of the great scream queens of the films, even though, yeah, she was one of the original scream queens, I would say, Janet Leigh. And, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis went on to do Fog, Prom Night, Terror Train, and all the other Halloween movies. Fish Called Wanda,
yeah.
True Lies, great. Yeah. I liked, you know, Freaky Friday. There you go.
Yeah.
She was in a Virus movie, too.
That's right.
Yeah. Virus, the sci-fi horror movie. Not good. Not her best. But
sometimes
a budget.
There's only so much you can do.
That's true. That is true. But, well, how you feeling, Derek?
I'm on the mend. So Columbus Day, I was in bed for more of the day than I was awake with, I believe they call it a high fever. So, you know, that kind of ruled out going anywhere or doing anything yesterday. I didn't know where I was going to be health-wise today. So, you know, I still get a lot of congestion and a lot of irritated throat and nose.
Sure.
It's not the thing.
Yeah.
I've tested. The kid's been tested twice. So it's not the thing. So that's a winner.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well,
probably got it walking through the woods.
Yeah.
Looking at pumpkin.
Yeah, that's probably where you did get it. You probably got the pumpkin ends.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new thing.
He's got the pumpkin spice virus.
Yeah. Well, the killer is
the old pumpkin spice.
Saturday,
yep.
And then Monday I'm in bed with flu-like symptoms. It's like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, we'll let you rest up, and we'll see you again next week.
All right.
We are going to play This or That with Winston Kidd coming up next here on Real Horror Show. Thanks to Derek Gary for calling in. And I hope you get better, Derek. I'll see you next week.
I'll be there next week. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Good to talk to you, Derek.
There we go. Mr. Derek Gary. Sounds like he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't have the thing, which is good. So let's take a little break. We'll come back. We'll play a little This or That. This or That is a little game show I got for you. And basically, I'm going to give you two scenarios, Winston. You're going to tell me how you survive.
Very right.
Good. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, Real Horror Show.
Thank you. have waited for him.
Testing 1, 2, 3. We're on.
We're here to investigate a patient that killed 3 innocent teenagers on a Halloween in 1978. He was shot by his own psychiatrist and taken into custody that night, and has spent the last 40 years in captivity. Hello, Michael. I have something you might like to see.
Everyone in my family like turns into a nutcase this time of year. Yeah, I mean, your grandmother is Laurie Strode. She was almost murdered.
Wasn't it her brother who murdered all those babysitters?
No, it was not her brother. That's something that people made up.
Do you know that I pray every night that he would escape?
What the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him. Dad, look out! The bus crashed.
Mom, what bus crashed?
Michael escaped.
It looked like it would be so much better than it was. It was the trailer for the official Halloween from 2018 by Blumhouse Productions. They kind of make stuff cheap. They're buying like Fantasy Island and doing that. And I think they bought the Banana Splits and did that. It was an awful, awful horror movie. I thought it was going to be great. But who knows? You know, Halloween Ends is getting okay reviews so far. We will see. But what kind of horror show would we be without mentioning Halloween Ends today?
Yeah.
So I'm sure people, that's going to be the big horror movie of the season. It's going to make some money.
Oh, yeah.
At least $5 or $10. It's going to make some bucks. What's your favorite Halloween? You like the first one, of course, right? What about after that? You like any of the sequels? Number 2, she's like in the hospital, and it's like an extension of the first one. It's just kind of crazy. And Season of the Witch, I told Derek. Great movie. The one with the kids and the masks.
Yeah.
With the silver shamrock. Oh, so good. It's just so awful, but it's so good. It's just so dumb. It was just great.
Halloween, I love the first one, and I didn't really like, none of the other ones really grabbed me.
No. Originally, Halloween was going to be like a bunch of series of different movies. Like, they're going to have one on witches one year, one on ghosts another year. But then they're like, nah, we got to bring back Michael Myers. We're losing money.
Yeah, we're making way too much money with Michael Myers.
Yeah.
You know, some of the originals are just, they're just so good. The original Friday the 13th was outstanding.
Yeah, the first one's pretty good. And that brings up a good thing that we were thinking about talking about, and we might as well, which is great weapons, great horror weapons.
Yeah.
You have like Jason pick up a girl in a sleeping bag, and one of them uses the sleeping bag to get rid of her. That's pretty creative.
That was creative.
And then there's the one with the Michael take Manhattan, and there's like the boxer, and then he just gives him one punch, and his head goes flying off into the air.
Yeah.
That's getting like way up there. That's like Michael 8 or 9. That's like Jason 8 or 9. Jason takes Manhattan, and it's like he's only in Manhattan for about 5 minutes.
But in the original Friday the 13th, when the guy's laying on the top bunk, and the hand comes around, puts it on his forehead, and then the machete goes right through his chest.
Awful.
That's incredible.
Awful.
That was an incredible kill right there.
Noah's pretty wild too. There's the one I was watching how it was made. There's something called Movies That Made Us on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they had one on Halloween, and it showed them lifting up the victim by wires while Michael Myers like guts them and pokes up. So the person, as soon as he guts them, he's lifting them into the air with like the knife in his hand, and I'm like, oh my god. It's like so disturbing. At one point, there's a harpoon, right? Like a fishing harpoon for Friday the 13th. It was in 3D. Remember
yes.
that? Friday
yes.
the 13th was in 3D. And I think that was around 83. And that was a big deal that year because everyone's like, oh, my God, you're going to be able to see, you know, a harpoon come straight for your eye, you know?
Yeah. 3D never really panned out.
No, I still don't think it has. And, you know, for some reason, like, the movie theaters are charging, like, an extra $20 to get, like, 3D glasses, and you don't see anything. It's disturbing. I take I have to wear my glasses.
Yep.
And then I got those glasses, and then I just have a headache for, like, 12 hours afterwards. And I'm like, that movie sucked. I didn't even watch it. My eyes were hurting me too much.
Couldn't even see.
No. It's like I just paid them to blind me for 2 hours. Friday the 13th, considered unlucky when you mark it on a calendar. Are you a superstitious man?
Not in general, but I will not mess with Friday the 13th.
No? Like you just don't go out of the house, just stay in?
Oh, no, I'll go out and just try not to, you know. That's not a point in time where I'm going to take a lot of unnecessary risk.
Yeah. This is the Silver Shamrock commercial. You remember this? So the premise of Halloween 3 was the kids put on masks and they had to be home by 9 p.m. to watch this commercial. And it was basically a jack-o'-lantern that flashed on the screen. And what it did was it triggers the mask to eat their brains. And then all of a sudden, like worms, and like they start having like streaking, and it's creepy. It's creepy. Because, I mean, that's one of those things you don't see in horror movies, you know? You're killing off kids. That's bad news.
Yeah.
You know? That's a disturbing movie.
Yeah, it's a disturbing movie.
But Derek was very disturbed by me playing Silver Shamrock last week, too. It sounds kind of like a, more like a, you know, Shamrock type thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's Silver Shamrock, but it sounds like a, you know, Erin Go Bra, St. Patrick's Day thing. Kind of weird.
It's all very upbeat.
It's like a little circus.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like the ice cream truck.
It is like the ice cream truck, you're right. And that's the excitement about it. They're basically like, kids, be home at 9, and we're going to do something special for you, which is basically kill them off.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting failure. But, I tend to like it. And I ended up going into Target and I found the three kids with their costumes, and they're really nice. It's like Don Post made the costumes. That's the most they spent on the budget for the movie.
Yeah.
And like it was like a jack-o'-lantern one, and then there was one that's a ghoul, and there's one that's a witch, and they're really cool looking. So I ended up picking those up. So I'm gonna put them in like my little window, so when the kids come by, they know that I'm a Halloween 3 fan. Let's play a little this or that.
All right.
Let me get a little this or that going. Ready?
Yep.
All right. This or that. So this week's this or that. It's a survival game. And we've been playing this since the beginning of Real Horror Show. And I give Derek, and Derek gives me a scenario that we need to get out of. So I'm going to give you, Winston, two scenarios. You tell me which one you want.
Okay.
And with the Florida hurricane that happened, which is devastating, I'm surprised more people didn't die in that. I don't know, you know, how many people must have really left, you know, which is surprising to me because most people just want to stick around and see what happens. Alligators, jellyfish. Let's say there's alligators and jellyfish. Or you get to your island and then a whole bunch of pirates come out and they start to attack you on the island. Which scenario would you like to pick, which is a horror scenario, and how will you survive?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with the pirates.
You're going to go with the pirates, okay.
I'm going with the pirates because if I'm on an island with pirates,
mm-hmm.
you know, this basically becomes a Home Alone scenario, and I'm building up a whole bunch of little Macaulay Culkinisms.
Okay,
to take the pirates out.
Yep,
one by one.
There you go. So there's a guy. What about the pirate with the black eye patch and the hook? How do you get him?
Oh, he's the easiest one.
All right.
Because what you do is you have a vine set up, hitched to a tree that's bent over, and you lasso his hook with that, and basically send that part of his arm flying.
Sure. Yeah. There you go.
Now he's got one arm and one eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just kick him in the nuts until he's dead.
He's pretty much all done. How about Peg Leg Pete?
Peg Leg Pete, you take him to the beach because you know how hard it is to walk on the sand.
That's true. Yeah, Peg Leg Pete will go right down.
He's going to get stuck in there and just drown.
That's like putting your kickstand down on your bicycle on the beach. It always went over. Yeah. La 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 loom. That was it. And then there's always a pirate that's like working the cannon. He's like just getting ready to light the cannon. Right. So you got a pirate that's like lighting a cannon at you. What are you going to do? How do you survive that?
Well, easy. For that, you just have to not be. You understand that those cannons have only one direction that they shoot.
Uh huh.
And even if it's grape shot, it's only going a certain way.
True.
So all you have to do is get out of that danger cone.
Yeah.
And you can take the peg leg and beat the guy over the head with it.
That's true. Yeah. That's one of the things about the cannons back then. They just stuff them up with whatever.
Right.
You know, it's like somebody, I think in Yellowbeard or something, I think they throw like the guy's leg or arm in there too or something to throw it out of the cannon. But yeah, they would just throw any kind of stuff
in
there.
Anything in there, just make scatter shots that go out. And take down people and so.
What if they brought scurvy? How are you going to do that? How do you deal with that?
The only way to deal with scurvy is to eat a lot of
citrus, right?
Citrus fruits.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's something on the island that'll.
So you have
you're in Florida, so you've got some orange juice somewhere.
You got some oranges. Yeah, you'll be all right.
So you can kind of get away with that.
Yeah. Why did they develop these islands that were set up as natural boundaries in Florida? Why did the developers do this? It cost people a lot of money. Don't you think?
It cost the insurance companies a lot of money.
That's true.
Really, what happened. And they basically, that's basic greed.
Yeah, sure is.
I mean, people not thinking about, you know, okay, I need to take all these beautiful houses and put them up on 12-foot cement cylinders to keep them safe from the storm surge. And that just doesn't look attractive.
Yeah.
So you've got that.
I think you got the upper hand on those pirates. Yeah.
Oh yeah. As long as you can evade and take out a couple.
Yeah.
Then you kind of start to swing the momentum back in your favor.
You know, it was a great pirate movie too. Who I probably wouldn't want to run into is the pirates. Well, actually, I would want to run into him because Captain Phillips just takes him out. Remember Captain Phillips?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Somali pirates. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Tom Hanks just takes them all out. Great movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're talking modern pirates. They don't do anything right on that one. They try to steal like an oil tank or something. And then they try to turn it around and they don't know what they're doing. Coast Guard comes. Tom Hanks takes a few of them out. Doesn't he? He has some fists flying too in that. The guy's in his 60s. He's pretty svelte in that one. Cool movie. Okay. Then Captain Hook, you know, or remember the filet of fish guy from McDonald's? Captain Hook, right? He was Captain Hook, right?
Yeah.
Was he ripped off from Peter Pan? He must have been.
That was absolutely a ripoff.
Yeah. I like Grimace. Grimace is like this big purple blob. He's like a monster, but he's cool.
Yeah.
McDonald's definitely took a little bit from the horror movies, right?
Grimace just looks like a big purple butt plug.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do a...
You're going to give me a this or that?
I'll give you a this or that.
All right.
You're on an island.
Yeah.
And a volcano spontaneously erupts while you're there.
Okay.
Or you're buried alive.
Oh.
A la Kill Bill.
See, that's interesting because I almost gave you the you are going to get burned alive by a mob or you're going to get buried alive by a crazy grave digger. And you gave me a similar scenario. I didn't give you that scenario, though. I gave Derek one with the bury alive a couple weeks ago, and I think he took that one. Because the way out of the buried alive for me is first check the cell phone. Yeah. See if it works. Call somebody. Call somebody. I just know not to call my brother because he'd come too late.
Yeah,
I'd run out. You know, it'd be like, yeah, I might get by there. I might be in like a half hour, 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, and then breathe I'd be dead. Slow.
Yeah, breathe really slow. You know, if you got a straw, use it. I'm going to take the volcano, I guess.
Okay.
So it's a volcano. And let's see. Where would I be where there's a volcano? Isn't that like Mount St. Helens? Isn't that in like Washington or something like that?
Yeah, but this is an island.
Oh, it's an island.
This happened recently.
This is like a Joe versus the volcano. I got it. I would bring a gal with me, and I'd toss her in. and then the volcano would settle, just like Joe versus the volcano. Right? So toss Meg Ryan in.
You would appease the gods by tossing Meg Ryan into the volcano.
Yes. That's how I would survive that one. Yeah, yeah.
Then
I'd hang out with all the natives afterwards, and we'd have like a pork roast or something.
I think, you know, whether or not you can actually follow through with that is, to, you know, is it today Meg Ryan or is it, is it Top Gun Meg Ryan?
It has to be Top Gun Meg Ryan because today the volcano just spit her back out and I'd be doomed. We'd all burn. Make it angrier. it's like all the plastic on her would just burst the volcano into flames. Like, how dare you throw that plastic woman into the volcano? But yeah, I think that's what I would do. I think a human sacrifice would settle that volcano right down.
I mean, it's worked for eons. Mm. People have been doing that. There has to be a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. That's this or that for this week. I think we're both born survivors, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to deal with COVID, but I know how to survive a volcano.
Yeah.
More people should buy underwear, I think, during this crisis. During this COVID crisis, don't you think?
Trying to get the why?
Just because you get the trots, isn't that one of the side effects? Most people got headaches or the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. Got a little Charlie horse, but now fresh underwear is always good. To have extra pairs of underwear for any occasion is good. I think why not use the excuse of COVID to give the old Fruit of the Loom. You know,
I always
a little
think,
bit of your money.
An upgrade to your underwear drawer is never a bad thing.
Yeah,
I think the one of the many ununderstandable things about the COVID was the run on toilet paper.
Yeah,
which actually got me thinking about, why don't we have more bidets in the U.S.?
Good point. I've heard it. Pretty much from my Middle Eastern friends, my European friends, they're like, there should be more bidets.
I never thought about it, but after the run on toilet paper, I'm like, hey, why are we killing all these trees?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, though. I mean, how often, because then people, you got to wash yourself, you're washing yourself quite a few times a day. I mean, depends.
Yeah.
You know? But you just give it a little fluff and then you're off back to work. No problem. Maybe a little extra powder in the room.
Yeah, just a little.
You have a powder room for everyone.
One of those, right next to the bidet, you put one of those air dryers, a Dyson.
Yeah, there you go. Get a Dyson for your behind. It'll be all right. And suck everything right out. And you're off to go. You're back to work.
You're back to work. And
I remember my mom had like the Avon calling. And in the 70s, I remember she had this little fluff thing. You know, it was like a powder fluff you do your face or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, man, that thing's great. And of course, being like 6 or 7, you're like, I'm going to put that on my bottom. It was shined right up. Didn't know it was like shiny, too. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I was fluffing my behind. She like, threw that thing right out. She's like, I'm putting that on my face, kid. That's like one of the everyday horrors for moms. It's like the kid got into my Avon. He's using it on his ass. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about candy.
Your mom was the safe. Yeah. Was the same.
Yeah. Let's talk about candy a little bit, because we were talking a little bit about, I posted a thing on Facebook, like, worst Halloween candy ever, and I don't know if we should lead up to it. I'll just go right off the bat and say what my worst is the elephant peanut, that circus peanut. It's like pink or orange.
And that's not even candy.
No.
I have no idea what it is.
Nobody
disgusting.
Knows what it is. It tastes awful. It looks awful. It looks like a butt plug, like a Grimace butt plug, except it's pink.
And just people would give them to you, and you're in that freaking... You get into that feeding frenzy of candy.
Yeah.
And so you pick it up and put it in your mouth, and then you're just like, oh, God, what is that?
Yeah.
Where are the Skittles? I got to wash the taste out of my mouth.
Isn't that an interesting thing, though, when you think about it? As a kid, any kind of sugar, or if you even thought it was candy, it went in your mouth,
yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah, you did that.
You didn't listen to any friends or parents or anything. You had to try
it. You had to try it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, you got into that mode of just like candy, candy, candy.
Yeah. Everybody loves candy.
I was doing the sugar high.
Give me a bad candy.
Necco wafers.
Necco wafers, awful candy. And they were made right here in New England, weren't
they?
They
were made right here in
Like
in
down
Cambridge.
The street? Like,
yeah.
Like over at the Schraps building, right?
No, it was...
Or was the Necco wafer company or something,
Necco
right?
Wafer company, yeah. Down the street.
Yeah.
And those things, I have no idea how... They're still made. I don't know how.
Yeah.
They just, there's no.
Because they cost next to nothing to make, probably.
Yeah, but there's no redeeming quality there to that. That's,
yeah, and there was one that was kind of like a purplish black licorice, yeah. Or something. It was just weird. Do you like black licorice?
I am not a fan.
Me neither. Like, I had this girl who was like, I love elephant peanuts, Necco wafers, and black licorice. I'm like the unholy trio of bad candy. The unholy trio of
candy. Somebody needs an exorcist.
Imagine what her teeth are going to look like at 80.
Jeez. Imagine what her breath is like.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just throw the candy corn in there and you...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She liked candy corn, too. Like, oh, I posted... That's what it was. I posted cookies made with candy corn. Like, somebody's making chocolate chip cookies, but they put candy corn in. And I'm like, way to ruin a cookie.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Ugh.
That
is an everyday horror.
Illegal.
Yeah. Talk about ruining Halloween. With sugar cookies, like what kind of relative a-hole brings that, you know, to a party? Like,
because I don't even think you're talking candy corn.
Yeah.
Grandparents don't even like, and they'll have those thing of Werther's mints or whatever.
The Werther's, yeah.
The Werther's,
yeah, yeah.
Sitting in a bowl.
Yeah,
and they're always there.
Stuck
Why?
To each other. Yeah.
Because they don't taste good. Nobody grabs them.
You know what?
It's a desperation.
I'm going to give you something I like better than elephant peanuts, black licorice, Necco wafers. You're gonna probably laugh, but you tell me. I kind of like ribbon candy, Christmas ribbon candy. It's not a Halloween candy, but you know that stuff. It's like glass shatters, and I mean, it could sit out there, and it was sitting there with like, you know, the Werther's.
So it's basically a ribbon of candy cane.
Yes, but like the peppermint ones or the spearmint, they were good. They were always much stronger, but I'm like, but they shattered like glass in your mouth because they were so small because they're ribbons.
Yeah.
But I like them better than all those other things.
They easily will get better than the other things you mentioned because at least that's candy.
Yeah. How about the best?
The best? Are we talking best Halloween candy or best?
What's a great Halloween candy that you got in your bag?
That I got in my bag?
I got one right off the top of the head.
All right, give me yours because
it was an average candy bar.
Yeah.
But you would get it from time to time. And you're like, yes, that was a good house. That was a good house to go to. The Snickers.
Oh, Snickers is a great candy bar.
Yeah, and if you don't like nuts, the Milky Way.
Snickers and Milky Way, both solid choices.
Yeah.
But in Halloween, I always liked the ones that you were getting that you wouldn't typically buy.
Yeah.
The Butterfingers.
Ooh, Butterfinger. I was never a big fan of the Butterfinger, mostly because it stuck to my teeth.
Right, but when you get the little ones at Halloween...
Yeah.
You'd go for them because you typically don't buy them.
Yeah.
That and the Baby Ruth bars that...
I like the Baby Ruth. That was like a poor man Snickers, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. But it was a poor man Snickers. It's something I get in my bag when I was little and I would never buy. But yep. It's always good as an alternative.
My favorite, I love the Snickers, but my favorite was the $100,000 bar.
$100,000 bar is a sugar rush.
It's just caramel with a little crispy on it and some good Nestle chocolate.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's just absolute sugar rush.
Yeah. I love it.
That is like the meth of candy bars.
I pondered this one today, too. What happened to the Three Musketeers? Why aren't we seeing the Three Musketeers around anymore? They're not being added to any of these value bags at Walmart or Costco or anything.
That's a good question.
Are the Three Musketeers not gay enough for 2022?
Maybe there needs to be four, or maybe they're down to two.
Yep.
I think one of the Musketeers transitioned, so...
It was like a nougat, but was a chocolatey nougat.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
So it was...
It wasn't a vanilla nougat.
It was literally the poor man's Milky Way, because there's no caramel.
There's no caramel in it, yeah.
So you take the caramel out, which is the thing that makes the Milky Way.
Yeah. Milky.
Yeah.
That caramel. I love caramel. I love anything caramel.
It used to be, when I was little, they had these things called the Hollywood Bar.
Hollywood Bar, yes.
Which was a Milky Way with a little bit of malt mixed in.
Yes. Yeah.
And those things were incredible.
Well, here we go. You probably like these. You like the Whoppers?
Whoppers are incredible.
Yeah, the malted milk. That's a taste that not everybody likes either. I like them and I don't, because it's like drinking sour milk.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I don't like this, but I do. Like, I almost feel like I've been good and bad eating a Whopper, malted milk ball. Like, I deserve that. I deserve that, and I deserve that. You know? It's like, I've been good, but I haven't been that good. I have a malted milk ball. Yeah, I loved... Do you remember the Marathon Bar? It was a long, like, chain, and it was probably, like, 2 feet long. It was larger than a Charleston Chew. It was bigger than a Charleston Chew. When the Charleston Chew came out with the long Charleston Chew, this was a Marathon Bar. All it was chocolate and caramel, and it was flat. So it was similar to like a $100,000 bar, but it didn't have the Krispies in it. But it was so good. And that was like a big 70s one. I'm going to give you one. You're going to remember this one because it was a great candy bar, and it didn't last too long, but it was sponsored by somebody. You know which kind of candy bar I'm talking about? They named it after him.
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Henry's a good candy bar. I'm thinking of the Reggie bar. Reggie Jackson's candy bar?
Yep.
That was a good candy bar.
Yep.
I think a lot of people love Reese's the best. Do you like, are you a peanut butter cup guy?
I love Reese's.
Yeah?
It's not, for some reason, it doesn't reach the same level.
It's not my go-to.
It's not a go-to.
I would trade my Reese's away for something else.
Yep.
I like the Almond Joy over the Mounds.
Totally Almond Joy over Mounds every time.
Almond Joy had not only the almond,
but the milk chocolate.
But also the joy. The milk chocolate, exactly.
As opposed to the dark chocolate, which is the Mounds bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, if you're going to go, some of the newer ones, right? Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of the Reese's, of the M&M peanut butter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've tried those, and there's the caramel one.
The caramel one's also really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else is there? The M&M's one. There's an almond one or something.
Yep.
Right?
And they have the...
black licorice.
They have not gone black licorice yet, but they have gone and put, like, brownie inside it.
Brownies. Yeah, yeah, I think I did try that.
It was so-so.
Yeah. M&M Mars, I don't know what I think about those characters they created. I never really liked them. I'm like, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat like this crazy thing that's talking to me.
I don't want my M&Ms running around talking.
I don't need to know the green M&Ms like this long-lashed vixen.
Yeah.
You know? I kind of liked the mystery of the M&M back in the 70s because you never knew if you were going to die from the red dye number 5.
Red dye number 5.
Yeah, that was a big scare for a number of years. And they reintroduced the M&M red only like 20 years ago again.
Yeah,
it was gone for a long time.
They took it out and they were afraid to bring it back in. There was some guy out in, you know, the Midwest, because they have more time than any of the rest of us.
Yeah.
And he led a like decades-long effort
good
to
for
get
him.
M&M's to put the good red ones back in.
A good fan. That's a life well spent. it was a life well spent.
You know, he's going to have a good saying put on his Tombstone.
Yeah.
They brought you the red M&M.
That's right. Yeah. If, what was it? Red Not Dead. How about that? Red Not Dead. M&M Pretzel. That's a pretty good one. I tried that. They have a Moose Munch one. They have a mint, a dark chocolate mint. I haven't tried that one, but the fudge brownie is the one you were talking about, which sounds disgusting to me. I think I may have tried it, but I don't know.
Let me save you. Don't.
No. You know what the Tooth Fairy used to bring me? M&M's.
Yeah.
That was it. I got M&M's and I got
Tooth Fairy's trying to build up business.
Yeah, I think so. And I'd get like, you know, a quarter or something. I always wanted a bigger box for the teeth. And a couple of times I'm like, man, I wish I had two or three teeth tonight because I could use a couple of bucks. Get like a quarter and some M&M's. But, yeah. And the M&M's were, curiously, like they never melted. They really didn't until they were in your hands. Yeah. They said, melt in your mouth, not in your hands. You don't hear the slogan much anymore, but they always melted in your hands.
They did. Always. Especially in the summer.
Yeah. So what do you got going on for... for Halloween, any plans? You got any ideas for a costume or anything like that?
I have no plans at this point.
No.
I'm going to let it show up and just wash over me.
That's all right. It's not a bad way to do it. Ugh. Scary year. Think it's going to get worse? Or do you think it'll get better?
Is
there a shine of light at the end of 2022?
If it is, it's a train heading right at us.
You think so?
I'm
yeah. Might be better to go to the Pirate Island.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm planning my escape to Pirate Island right now.
Yeah.
Because it just, things just get crazier and crazier. And then you hear like scientists develop a, you know, they developed a self-replicating organism.
Yeah.
Built entirely from micro Lego blocks and.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, this is not the time to be doing that.
Right.
You know,
unless it's that Lego block that's going back into my wrist.
Yeah, I don't want it.
I don't want it.
And you should leave it alone.
Yeah.
Don't open up any, you know, old tombs that you find because who knows what's coming next?
Who knows? So any final horrible thoughts for 2022, Winston?
The fact that it still has, what, 2.5 months left?
Yeah, yep.
That's a horrible thought right there.
Pretty much. Well, 1.5, right? No, it is 2.5. You're right. Yep.
So, that's my take on it.
Well, we will be back next week with Mr. Derek Gary, as long as he is feeling better. My name is Chris Earle. My co-host today has been Winston Kidd. This has been a Real Horror Show on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Stick around, and happy Halloween.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Winston, and see you next week, everyone. WMFO Medford.